Maybe one more or two more general comments in this, and then we can move specifically to service. Are there any other comments in this line?
As in the illustration highlighted by the Spirit of God in John chapter 13, of the washing of the feet. Daily, as we walk in this world, there will be exposure to principles and ideas that are against the mind of Christ. And there is no way that we can completely separate ourselves or take away that exposure. We will be exposed, and our feet will be dirty. In a remedy, in John, in Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word." So there will be exposure to things that are not pleasing to the Lord. There will be things that are contrary to the mind of Christ that we come across. And this verse, I believe, can apply to general things that we hear in meetings and in Grove City or wherever, you know, the people of the Lord meet. But as it was highlighted, that going separately into your own closet and reading the word, being in communion with the Lord, is where the Lord will reveal to you how to cleanse, how to be cleansed specifically from certain things that you are exposed to daily.
Okay. One of the things I think, going back to your thought with Daniel, that has always impressed me is when he went into that upper room, he opened up the windows toward Jerusalem. Specifically toward Jerusalem, keeping with 1 Kings chapter 8, I think it is. But the point being is that he had the Lord's interests at hand. And I think that's the question that I need to ask myself and that we need to ask ourselves is, really, do we have the Lord's interests at hand? One other thing I thought of, too, you said that Daniel had three and the Lord had 12. But the Lord also had three. He had the three on the inner circle. So there's... I've never really paralleled these things, but this is going to be a good study when I go home. I mean,
Sam.
Yeah, I had a comment going back to Genesis 11. Let us make a name for ourselves. The reality of the world, just really, be very clear. The reality of the world is to have that mentality in our businesses, in your profession, whatever it is. That the ultimate goal is to be known, oftentimes. Okay. If you think of the life of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus was obedient to his Father. It became inevitable that people knew of him. He became very popular by the common folk and so on. That was not his intention. It became as a result of him obeying God. My point here is that oftentimes, if we are faithful and diligent in doing the things that we have to do and should be doing, we may get, there may be some knowledge of us and so on. But that's not the intention. That's not what the goal was. The goal was simply to do your job or do whatever, if you're a student, do what you're supposed to do. Then people take notice of you. But that was not the intention. There's a difference.
Very good.
If my intention is, it really makes a difference. If my intention is to be known, I can manipulate things to make sure that my name is first.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's done.
Yeah.
I can manipulate it so that my name is first. But there are some occasions when your name has to be first because you've done what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let's use that to lead into service, I think, because that's a very common theme just in that line, too. If we think to, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, among other things, the Lord Jesus speaks about living a life that is free of hypocrisy, not doing things the way the hypocrites do. And so, for example, in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, he talks about not praying like the hypocrites because they like to pray in public to be seen of men. Now, the Lord Jesus prayed in public. It's not that there's sinfulness inherent in praying in public, but they purposely prayed in public so that they would be seen by others. When they would fast, in verse 16, so that they would appear to men to be fasting. Where else is it where it talks about their verse earlier, beginning in the chapter, verse 2, when they're doing good by giving, they gave to be noticed so that they could be having glory from men, as it says in verse 2. So the purpose of the act, two people may serve outwardly in precisely the same way, but one is serving to bring glory to the Lord, and one is serving to get noticed. You know, we often serve to get noticed, or we serve to work our way up the ladder. You know, we want to get more responsibilities, so we make sure people know what we've done so far so we can get a bigger job later on. Whereas if we're serving faithfully to honor the Lord, one of the Proverbs says, if you see a man who's diligent in his business, he's going to stand before kings. So as Sam is saying, there may be an elevated opportunity, but we use those things for the Lord. So here's the question now. How is it that service for the Lord is done? What are the characteristics of service for the Lord? What is the empowerment of service for the Lord? What are the attitudes of proper service for the Lord? How can we serve the Lord in a way that honors him and that is not influenced by worldly thinking and worldly principles, where we're trying to get a name for ourselves or trying to do things in our own strength? How can we serve the Lord? How should service for the Lord look?
I think the two in Scripture that call out, Daniel's one of them and Joseph is the other one, because both of these men, while working, rose very high. But both of those men recognized, and I think the key point of who they work for. Because Joseph, when he saw his brothers, said, God let you do what you do so I could preserve life. Joseph, you know, he was number two to Pharaoh. He was working for Pharaoh, but Joseph always knew, I was working for God. God put me in this exact position. He allowed me to rise as high as I did because I'm working for God, for his ends. So service, any kind of service for the Lord, whether it be the service I'm doing directly for him at being a Sunday school teacher or whatever, I'm working for God. I'm not working for the Sunday school superintendent or whoever. I'm working for God. My day-to-day job, the job I go to, I have a boss. I have to answer to people. But I'm working everything as I'm working for God. I'm working as to the Lord. And that is what service looks like. Service looks like, you know, I have my boss. My boss tells me to do something. I do it. And I'm serving my boss. Well, I serve God. God tells me to do something. God puts something on my heart. I do it. And I think it's a really simple principle that gets very complex because we allow things to get in between myself and the Lord, other layers, when the reality is that no matter what I'm doing, I'm working for the Lord. And that's the first step.
Could I quickly say a comment there? Just nothing to do with Tim. We often say a full-time servant. And I know what we mean, but in one sense, we all are all full-time.
Amen.
That's the thinking that I should have, that, you know, I go to work. My job is, if it's given to me by the Lord, I should be doing, there's a scripture in Colossians 3 that says, and whatever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Earlier it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's the attitude that I need to have in whatever I am doing.